Hello, pilgrims. This is Pastor Bob, and it's June 1st. It's a new month and a new journey. The month of May was set aside for our walk with the Gospel of Mark, and now we enter June, and we're going to switch over to the Gospel of John. And what an amazing spiritual gospel it is. So I encourage you to get your Bible out, get your tea or coffee out. Today I've got a coffee going, the Highlander Grog coffee with steamed milk, little deep red votive candle, and we're just trying to get the music straight here and set the tone. Let's see, all right. Today is going to be a little bit different. The idea of the June daily devotions is to be shorter than the May ones. In May, we read the scripture selection twice through. And from June, we're going to do it once. So it's on you to either replay it again or read it on your own or read it two or three more times and then replay it at night, however you want to do it. So from here on, most of the recordings will be probably in the 8 to 10 minute range. I don't know. We'll have to see. This one's going to be in the longer one, like May, because I want to introduce the Gospel of John a little bit to you before we have our day one, episode one reading. So most of you who followed Mark or have become familiar with that, you've probably already heard something about the Gospel of John, that it stands out. From other Gospels and other New Testament writings, for instance. Using N.T. Wright's classic book, The New Testament and Its World, I'm going to share a few thoughts with you about the Gospel of John. If you looked at Paul, for instance, in the readings of Paul, Paul kind of takes us to a seminar room, right, where we want to take notes and look up references. It's a study, you know. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, takes us kind of into the synagogue, where the people of God, his people, are learning to recognize Jesus as God with them. We just read through the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is basically a very short travelogue, photo album, kind of tour of Jesus, and a handbook on discipleship. Luke is really written for the educated Greek world, and he paints a big picture of God's purposes with what God is doing through Jesus Christ. John is different. John isn't any of those things. John is something of itself. In one way, John wants to take us up on the mountain, wants to take us up the higher ground and say, look here, behold the glory as of a Father's only Son. There's something deeply glorious about Jesus in John's gospel. But John also brings us down from the mountain and invites us to be still and know. He wants us to look into that human face of Jesus as if we're looking into the human face of the living God. Because that's the point of the gospel. To remind us, to not let us forget, to put even first priority who Jesus is. He is the living God with us. So John spends a lot of time teaching us to discern the presence of God throughout Jesus' earthly walk. See God's presence in there. Right? Now, while if you looked at it, just glanced at it, you'd think it was pretty similar to the other Gospels, really. It kind of looks like them. It has some same stories. It kind of goes in a sequence like that. But really, when you look closer, John is really different. Just some of the things that are different with the Gospel of John. That dramatic temple action of Jesus cleansing the temple. In John, that appears near the beginning of Jesus' ministry, not at the end like the other Gospels. John has Jesus going in and out of Jerusalem frequently. And as you know, in Mark, Jesus only went to Jerusalem one time in Mark's gospel. On the Last Supper, in the other synoptic gospels, the Last Supper is a Passover meal And in John, it seems to be a meal before Passover, on the eve of Passover. In John, Jesus uses the term eternal life a lot more than kingdom of God. Although there is some overlapping, John's preferred language for the same thing, really, seems to be eternal life. John doesn't use parables as much as he uses what we call discourses, right? Although they can be very similar. In John's gospel, you won't see Jesus perform any exorcisms, no casting out of demons. Jesus does not get baptized. We are not told about Jesus' words of institution at the Last Supper. In the other gospels, it's the high priest, as you know from Mark, who are always hounding and chasing down Jesus and become jealous of him and want to kill him. In John's gospel, they want to kill him because he raised Lazarus from the dead. And by the way, that's an incident that only occurs in John, the raising of Lazarus. One thing to look for as we read through the Gospels are what's called John's I Am sayings, where Jesus continually throughout the Gospel reminds people who he is by his I Am statements. You'll notice them now as I point them out to you. You'll be aware of them. He'll say things like, I am the bread of life, right? I am the sheep's gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the light of the world. On and on it goes. Jesus repeatedly telling people, trying to tell people in human terms, worldly terms, who he really is, and keeps searching for all these different descriptions of himself. So what do we think John was doing in this gospel? Well, my preference and way to look at it is that John was writing a new Genesis. Given the opening scripture of the Gospel of John, which you're going to hear today, John begins with the same words as Genesis begins, in the beginning. And John is trying to tell us how the world's creator, that God that created the world in Genesis 1, has come at last to remake his world. He's come into the world to redo it, and he's brought his son with him, right? And that's part of John's priority in teaching us. Don't lose track of that, right? In John, the word humans, the creation of humans in the divine image, well, Jesus is the epitome of that, where the word becomes flesh, right? Which should give us all hope as to the kind of person we can be, the kind of being we can be for God. But it's more than just a Genesis. He's also, in a way, writing a new Exodus, right? With the Word became flesh, God now comes to dwell in a person. In the old Exodus, God dwelled where? Right? In the tabernacle. And it was carried around with the people. Now God dwells in a human being, right? He reveals his true glory. So the temple theme, which is in the whole gospel, culminates in the Gospel of John with the Jesus theme. Jesus's followers become temple people, not because they attend the temple, but because by the promise that God's own Spirit will come to dwell in them. So that leads into a third thing John was doing. He was also writing a Pentecost, right? The whole memory of Jesus for John is augmented, animated really, by the Holy Spirit. This power that Jesus has brought, who will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you, right? That's in chapter 14 of John, the power of the Holy Spirit. So, N.T. Wright, the great biblical scholar and writer of Christology, has summed up the Gospel of John with this. John has written a theologically creative and spiritually rich fusion of personal memory and Pentecostal faith, suffused with scriptural motifs that together make this point. This is the fulfillment of Israel's hope. This is, therefore, the way creation itself is renewed. This is what it looked like when Israel's God, the Creator, came in person to do what only He could do. John blends together the life of Jesus with the love of God revealed in Jesus. One more thing to look for in addition to the I Am statements is, instead of using miracles as a platform for Jesus' power, John's gospel is known as the signs. Jesus' signs that he gives, showing people by these miraculous powers, if you will, by these actions, by these deeds, by these healings, who he is, the signs of Jesus throughout the Gospel of John. Well, let us be careful that we don't fall into the realm of scholars, for God's sake. Well, we begin with a little background on John, and you can keep coming back to that as you desire, but let's begin our reading. And for this, I'm going to limit commentary, maybe even to a minimum. On many days, there may not be any commentary. I want to let these words of the Gospel of John speak for themselves. We're going to begin in the beginning, as John would say, chapter 1, and we're going to go chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 28 today. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 28. Open your hearts. John has a message to offer to you that he would say, and I would say, is the most important message you will hear this month. This is the most important thing you will do this month. Not because I'm doing it or John wrote it, but because it's between you and God. And these are the words of God to you in your life today. The Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is the testimony given by John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing, if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And thus concludes our reading of the Gospel of John in June, Episode 1. I hope you can read that Gospel for yourself throughout the day today and tonight, or maybe listen to the recording again, because tomorrow will come Episode 2, and we'll pick up at Chapter 1, Verse 29, and go to the end of Chapter 1, Verse 51. 29 through 51, Chapter 1, the Gospel according to John tomorrow. But until then, I hope you have received the Word of God today. I hope you have absorbed the Word of God. I hope it is working within you right now. I hope it is speaking to you. It is giving you vision. It is showing you clarity. It is lifting you up so that you too become filled with the power of the Spirit. So until tomorrow. Oh, we are going to do Sarah Young's readings. See how engrossed I was in the Gospel? That Gospel of John just grabs my heart and won't let go. Love that Gospel of John. Anyway, we're going to close with a devotion from Sarah Young every day from her Jesus Calling devotion. Boy, I'm glad I didn't miss this. So let's close with this. This will be our benediction. Jesus says, on June 1st, 2020, "I am involved in each moment of your life. I have carefully mapped out every inch of your journey through this day, even though much of it may feel haphazard. Because the world is in a fallen condition, things always seem to be unraveling around the edges. Expect to find trouble in this day. At the same time, trust that my way is perfect, even in the midst of such messy imperfection. Stay conscious of me as you go through this day, remembering that I never leave your side. Let the Holy Spirit guide you step by step, protecting you from unnecessary trials and equipping you to get through whatever must be endured. As you trudge through the sludge of this fallen world, keep your mind in heavenly places with me. Thus the light of my presence shines on you, giving you peace and joy that circumstances cannot touch."